Good morning, Saturday Radio.
Good morning, Saturday morning listeners. This is Sharon Jackson. My co-host for this morning is Cynthia Hopkins Brown. We have been going through taking a Saturday morning journey through Think and Grow Rich. Last Saturday, we talked about desire. We laid the foundation for desire by talking you through on page, talking you through the methods to establish your practical action plan to establish a money consciousness. Today, what we're going to do is finish the second chapter on desire and lay the foundation, at least this is the plan, to lay the foundation for the next element of Think and Grow Rich, and that is faith. Now, the one thing, if you read the book, and the introduction is very important, is that the author says that in every chapter, there are practices that you need to put in place to develop your strength and manage your weaknesses. That's all you can do in life, in every element of your life, is develop your strength and manage your weakness. If you do that, if you follow this, you will be enriched, you will be strong in every area in your life. The other thing that the author said that I thought was very important is that for those people that read the book, that there is something in every chapter that tells you what is so important about Mastermind, what makes it work. And for those of you that have read the book and have determined what it is, what is the phrase, what is the word, what is the action that this book says that makes it work, that makes everything work, I'd appreciate it if you would call in. Cynthia Hopkins Brown, is there an opening statement that you would like to make this morning? I take that as a no. So we shall move on into desire. The first point that I'd like to make is that every failure brings with it the seed of an equivalent success. Every person that goes through life is going to have a failure of something. But we all have to understand failure sharpens your wit. It sharpens your character. Iron sharpens iron. And at that point, the next page says the turning point in the lives of those who succeed usually comes at a moment of some crisis through which they are introduced to their other selves. And that's so important to know what your other self is. That person that gathers themselves up, builds up every strength that they have in their body, in their mind, in everything that they have, and they make the next push forward. The next push that takes them to success. The other part of them that they say is their other self is that point that you reach into the infinite. A lot of people call the infinite the intelligent a lot of different things. For some people, it is God. For other people, it is a creator. For other people, it is, there are a lot of different names. But the point is, he is infinite. He is that person that through which human beings are sometimes forced to undergo all sorts of trouble and tribulation before discovering their own brain, their own capacity to create using ideas through imagination. The infinite intelligence has placed everything that you need in your own mind to succeed. That's the reason why it's so important that we talk to people about meditation, going into your mind and meditating every day, pulling out of the infinite and bringing it onto the earth. Remember our story last week about Dr. Mia Merritt? And she pulled that beautiful Mercedes. She's pulled other things out. The only reason why that sticks in my mind is that I drove in that Mercedes. I drove in that car. That was magnificent. But we pull things out of the infinite all the time. It is important that we continually stay in contact with infinite intelligence. A lot of people, when you talk to them and you ask them about, you know, what it is that they want, well, I really hope that this happens, or I'm wishing for this thing. I'm really ready for this thing to happen, and I'm just kind of hoping that it's going to happen. There is a major difference between wishing for a thing happening and being ready to receive it. You're never ready for a thing until you believe that you can acquire it and have developed the things that we've been talking about to be able to handle it and take it forward. Many people receive things every day. There's always blessings and opportunities coming at us every day. But because we're not ready to receive, because we have put no plan in place to be able to take action when it comes, then they just go right by us. Because we haven't tapped into the infinite intelligence, we don't see them when they're coming. Because we have not developed that part of us that takes a blessing to bless not only us, but to bless everyone that we're around. We are placed on earth not to just be blessed, but to be a blessing. On page 36, there is a quote that says, "I thought the words of immortal Emerson, the whole course of things goes to teach us faith. We need only for each of us, and by lowly listening, we hear the right word. Our limitations are only limitations, are those that we set up in our mind. Our minds are so perfect. Remember, Cynthia Hopkins Brown, I need for you to help me remember this fact. Remember, they're talking about our minds. Our minds are such incredible computers. But we only use about 10% of our brain. What would happen during our meditation period that we learn to develop 11%? Oh. But that means we have totally learned to be able to reach into the infinite. Cynthia, do you have something to say on that point? I can see you, Cynthia. You are not on mute. In the book, he talks about the author. The author puts, as our person would say, our chairperson would say, Ann McNeil, who is the master builder mastermind. She says a lot of times you have to have a dream to have a dream come true. But now I hear her say, not only do you have to have a dream, but you have to put meat on those bones. Well, the author did just that. He tells a story as part of chapter 2 about the son that he had. A son that in those days and times, he didn't put a year on this, but what he does do, he frames the fact that he wrote this book during the Depression, which obviously started in 1929 and lasted for about 10 years. So we're going to say it was about that time. His son was born with no ears. In those days and times, that meant not only would he not be able to hear, but he would not be able to speak. He was determined that his son was going to be able to do both. So So he told his son that he could do absolutely anything that he wanted. I see a hand raised. Caller with the last four numbers of 1328, would you like to make a comment? I see a hand raised, and the number is 1328. Would you like to make a comment?
Yes, I would like to make a comment. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Responding to your comment on desire?
Yes, ma'am.
Five, when it talks about a state of mind must be belief, not mere hope or wishing. Open-mindedness is essential for the belief. Closed-mindedness does not inspire faith, courage, and belief. So not only when you desire something that you have to, it's not just mere wishing and hoping, you have to actually believe that it's possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's not only believing that it's possible, but you see it. You feel it. It's like we talked about last week. You think about it and you meditate it day and night. So much so that you get to a point where you actually see it. So at a very, very, very good point. Would like to end, say that I believe that Ms. Hopkins Brown is an international masterminder, a woman of like mind, a woman that masterminds her own life. And let me take this moment to say we are the International Mastermind Group, and our link, if you would like to go check us out on the web, is www.internationalmasterminders.com. That's www.internationalmasterminders.com. Thank you very much. That was a good comment, Cynthia.
I also love and recite the poem, My Wage. That poem is something that I think each line could be looked at and actually meditated over daily. Is it okay if I recite the poem?
Absolutely. You took the words out of my mouth.
Okay, great. It says, I bargained with life for a penny, and life would pay no more. However, I begged at evening when I counted my scanty store. For life is a just employer. He gives you what you ask. But once you have set the wages, why you must bear the task. I worked for a menial hire, only to learn dismayed that any wage I had asked of life, life would have willingly paid. And I think that every day I remind myself with this poem and saying, I get exactly what I feel that I believe I'm worth. That's what this poem says to when it says, my wage. What you desire, what you feel, life will give you exactly that. And I actually, being a masterminder, a part of the International Masterminders Group, I have actually asked for life to give me more. And as a result, life does give you more. The only thing that you have to be aware of that is stated again in the book is you have to give back. You have to, there is a price to pay. And the price to pay is what you're going to do for others. Because as a masterminder and as a group, you have to be willing to give to others. It's no benefit in just having everything of your own. There's example after example after example of successful people who had all the money in the world and were still miserable in life. Do you understand what I'm saying, Sharon?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we are put on this earth not only to be blessed, but we are here to be a blessing. So, you know, every place that we go should be blessed. Not only where we work, not only our family, but our community should be blessed. And so, absolutely, we have a responsibility of everything that we give. It is a process. There, you talk about people with wealth. Listen to how many people with wealth give back to the community. It doesn't diminish their wealth, and they give all the time. Charities,
right.
Benefits.
That's right.
To people that don't have like they have, and they are continually giving. It may have been
That's
diminished
right.
a little bit during this economic downturn, but the statistics show that they continually give.
Right. I mean, when they say give, it doesn't necessarily always mean in a money form, because I recently was talking to a really good friend of mine that I grew up with, and just being able to spend the time with her and giving my time to listen, it's worth more than a person, you know, any amount of money that you can being able to help somebody, to make them feel better, to give them the encouragement to continue, it's more than worth $1 million.
Yeah.
It's no price at all that you can put on that.
Absolutely. You know, this is not a political show, but look at our president. Every holiday, every Thanksgiving, he makes those kids get up and they go out and they give to the community. But they always do that. This is something that is part of something that he's trying to show his children, that they are to give. You're right. Absolutely. Giving is not necessarily monetarily. Giving is also from the heart.
Right.
We have another hand.
There's someone on the line.
Hello?
Yes. Is this 3787?
Yeah.
Okay, what is your comment?
Wait, like, what is this show again?
This is the International Mastermind Group, and we are taking a weekly walk through the book, Think and Grow Rich. So we talk about Think and Grow Rich, we meditate on it, and we encourage people that either have read the book or have not read the book but want to understand more about enriching their lives.
Well, yeah, I guess what? Your book sucks, man. I read it, and it just sucks.
Okay, really sorry that you feel that way. However, there are a lot of people that believe that it is a good book. It is a good book that has enriched their lives and moved forward. There are books that are on, you know, money consciousness, and that are on moving forward, and they have been all based on Think and Grow Rich. So there are people that absolutely have a lot of different thought patterns, and his is one. So we hear it, we accept it. But for the International Masterminders, Think and Grow Rich is one of our foundational books. I'm going to take this time, again, to tell you that if you are interested in knowing more about the International Mastermind Group, we are on the web at www.internationalmasterminders.com. Cynthia, are you still on
yes,
the line? Would you like to make a comment
yeah,
on our call?
Yeah, I'm still on the line, and we also want to remind our callers or our listeners to press 1 on your phone if you would like to speak to the host.
Oh, very good comment. Thank you so much.
One of the things that I thought about in the chapter on desire, when it gave the example about Thomas Edison and the Wright brothers, it just listed all the successes and the things that they had achieved. And it made me think about Microsoft, Google, Apple, you know, just to bring it current to what these people did and how they were able to make a difference in the world. And if I could just read one of the paragraphs on there, it says, demanding new ideas, new ways of doing things, new leaders, new inventions, new methods of teaching, new methods of marketing, new books, new literature, new features for the mass media, new ideas for entertainment. And all those speak to Microsoft, Google, Apple. This book, although it was written so long ago, still applies to today. You could take everything in this book today and apply it to current. Even I thought about even Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King, what he went through, and today there's a statue in Washington, D.C., where all the presidents and dignitaries, people who have made a difference in the world, is the only people that have a statue in Washington, D.C. And that's because he had a dream, and he believed in it, and he did not quit. And I can't think of any other word when you talk about desire than people like that as an example.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he had people that were mentors that were beyond his family. And he reached out to them and he used them to the fullest. So absolutely, your point is well taken. Absolutely well taken.
The other thing that I wanted to comment on, just to bring it personal, my son went back to school. He had a desire. He wasn't making a whole lot of money, and he decided to go back to school and take up medical billing and coding through one of those training classes, and he got his diploma, his certificate, and everything, and he applied on Monster, and he just kept putting his resume out. And as a result of him not giving up and keep trying, because every time someone would say to him, well, you need experience, and he was like, well, I can't get experience unless someone give me a chance. And on Monday, he actually is hired and will start working for Kaiser. Kaiser Permanente, one of the biggest insurance companies, you know, that all over the world. And I told him, and he also has read this book, and I sat down with him and mentored him, like you're saying, and given him the hope and the process to go through to know to not give up and to keep trying. And he's a living example and could speak on that. And one of these Saturdays, I'm going to have him on the phone, have him call in to give his own story. But I'm really proud of him, and I just wanted to mention that.
Absolutely. On page 38, and I'm going to back up exactly what you said. It says at the top of the page, desire backed by faith pushes reason aside, and inspires us to carry on, which is exactly what your son did. He had faith, and he had reason, and they pushed. And he had faith and he had desire, and it pushed reason away. If he had read the newspaper that said unemployment was 7-9%, and for black males it was more like 15-20%, he could have reasoned, there is no point for me to look. He could have reasoned within himself, I've already put in 10 applications, there's no point in me putting in 11th. But he pushed through desire, with desire and with faith, and he pushed aside reason. And that inspired him to carry on, until he reached his goal. Absolutely. How wonderful is that? And you're a good mother, obviously.
I appreciate that.
The book says, on page 42, strange and imponderable is the power of the human mind. We don't understand the method by which it uses every circumstance, every individual, every physical thing within its reach as a means of transmuting desire into a physical counterpart. Using your son as an example, everything that he did, every word that he heard his mother say, every word that he read in this book, every ounce of everything that he could find, he used as a circumstance to pull it together and bring it into the physical counterpart. I use Dr. Mia Merritt again, and she did the same thing to pull that car out of the infinite and into the natural. And our mind, that is so amazing. Every circumstance, every individual, every physical thing is used by our mind to transmute desire into the physical counterpart. And it said perhaps science one day will be able to uncover this secret. It doesn't matter if it's uncovered. It's just as long as we use it. I see a person with the last four digits, 1964. Would you like to speak?
And it's Stephanie. How are you this morning?
Well, very good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderfully well, wonderfully well. I'm just listening to your conversation on desire, and I just want to let people know, when you talk about desire and talk about what is everything that you need is out there, it doesn't just mean that it's a wish, that you just sit there and wish on it. You have to also put some work in. You know, it's not just about saying, I want a new car, or I want a new job, or I want a new life. You must put some work in. And you cannot quit when you encounter obstacles. The young lady was talking about her son. He could have quit because everybody's telling he needed experience. But he knew that in order to get experience, he had to have a job to do that. And he could have been discouraged and say, you know what, I'm just going to stay where I'm at. And he didn't. He persevered and finally got someone to hire him so he could get that experience to even move further up where he wants to go. So it's not just about wishing and hoping. It's about work as well. So that's just what I wanted to say in my comments.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very good. That's the one thing. Things come very automatic these days. We are so used to instantaneous gratification. Everything is so fast. But you have to work at it. And that's the one thing that this book and everything that we have found out, everything, when it all comes down to it, it boils down to work. Consistency. Consistency and dedication, which was put in place for that young man to get a job. Consistency, responsibility, and that is an incredible example. And yes, we would definitely like to have him on the call on a Saturday morning.
One of the things that make me think about Sharon is when we talk about Michael Jordan. You know, a lot of people admire Michael Jordan. But reading his story, he got up early. He went practicing. He played basketball and practiced over and over and over and over and over. There was not a time where he didn't. He actually said that he would visualize himself, putting the basketball in the basket. And that's one of the other things that it talks about in the book. You know, he didn't just wake up and it just happens. You know, a lot of people say, you know, how did you do that? Or I envy you. And they're not willing to put in the work, like the young lady that just spoke said, the work that's involved, being able to get up at 5 in the morning to do what's needed to do, to be the winner, to accomplish what you want. And sometimes, I mean, written in here, they talked about Thomas Edison, and I heard Napoleon Hill talk about he had 10,000 failures, and he said that if he had, he would continue. He wouldn't even talk to Napoleon Hill if he hadn't succeeded. He had failed over 10,000 times. And you talk about belief and a desire, that is amazing.
Well, I've heard that older people say, well, honey, there are people in the street that play basketball just as good as those boys on TV. Problem is, they didn't put it in a form of, they didn't go at it as a business. They didn't consistently practice. They didn't
right.
come, you know, with it. But
right.
in terms of being basketball players, they better. But they didn't take it to the next level. And that's the whole point in life, is taking it to the next level. It doesn't ever
yeah.
get difficult. This is what I tell kids all the time. Life doesn't get more difficult. It just becomes more complicated. It's not necessarily black and white all the time. Some things appear to be gray, but you have to come into that purpose. That what we talked about earlier, that other self, to know what you're going to do when it's time to do the right thing, when that's the only thing that you should do. When you have the opportunity to do the wrong thing, you just do the right thing because it's the right thing to do.
Right.
And push yourself to the next level. Absolutely.
And when you believe in something and you believe strong enough, that belief and that desire, don't care what anybody say to you, is when that other self, God, the universe, whatever name you want to call it, says, okay, she or he is very serious, and let's give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my way of how I look at it. You know, when you stand and you say, I'm not moving. Another example that I think about, recently Bank of America was going to go up on its knees. And this woman went around, got a petition. He put a sign to leave Bank of America and to go to credit unions, and she was on MSNBC. You know, not only did she believe and say, I'm not going to put my money there anymore, I'm going to talk to other people and get them involved. And as a result, Bank of America said they're not going to go up on their fees. So that's again, a real-life belief. When you believe in something, and I'm sure a lot of people said to her, you can't never get the banks to change anything. They're not going to do anything. And she said, I don't care. I believe that you will, and I'm going to do something about it. And as a result, today, they said they're not going to charge that $5 fee for using a debit card. I don't know if you remember that.
Now, absolutely did. I saw on MSNBC.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Just so many examples, so many examples.
The book, and I'm following this up again with what the book says, I believe in the power of desire, backed by faith, because I have seen this power lift people from lowly beginnings to places of power and wealth. I have seen it rob the grave of its victims. I have seen it serve as a media by which individuals staged a comeback after being defeated in 100 different ways. I have seen it provide my own son with a normal, happy, successful life, despite nature's having sent him into the world severely disabled. And that's exactly what you were talking about. Faith and desire together, pushing away reason, exactly what you said. The reason would say you cannot fight something as large as Bank of America. She pushed reason aside, put faith and desire together, and moved forward. And absolutely found people of like mind, as we are in the International Mastermind at www.internationalmasterminders.com. She found people of like mind. They bonded together and they stopped a movement of a large corporation that may have done something that was inappropriate. So absolutely, that's a good comment. And I just wanted to back that up with the last paragraph on page 43 in Desire, because that fit in so well. Faith is a state, well, the we are starting actually, we have 8 minutes and 25 seconds left on the show, and we are on the last page of Desire. And the book says, to wrap this up, it is reasonable to presume that the message may come to the attention of many who have been wounded by personal economic calamity. Those who have lost their fortune, others who have lost their positions, does this sound familiar? And great numbers who must reorganize their plans and to stage a comeback, which refers to thousands and thousands of people that have lost everything during this last economic downturn. To all these, I wish to convey this thought. All achievement, no matter what may be its nature or its purpose, must begin with an immense burning desire for something definite.
Yes, amen.
There was some strange and powerful principle of mental chemistry which she never thought divulged. Nature wrapped up in the impulse of strong desire, that something that recognizes no words such as impossible and accepts no such reality as failure. Which is exactly what you said. Which is exactly where we all must go. What would you do if you woke up tomorrow and there was no such thing as failing? Fortunately, nature has also given us a way to channel desire unwaveringly toward the goals we name and seek. It is the way of faith. And faith, dear listeners, is the second step to riches. Faith is a state of mind which may be induced by auto-suggestion. We are going to talk about next week. We're going to start our journey on faith. Visualizing and belief is the attainment of desire. The second step is the attainment of riches. We are going to talk about faith. We're going to talk about how you get faith. We're going to talk about how you maintain faith. I'm going to start this. And I'm going to talk about this first sentence in chapter number 2 because I had to read it 2 and 3 times before it really went down into my spirit, but it's so powerful. Faith is the head chemist of the brain. When faith is blended with the vibration of thought, the subconscious mind instantly picks up the vibration, translates it into spiritual equivalent, and transmutes it to infinite intelligence, as in the case of prayer. It's also working to bring those things out of the infinite, out of the spiritual, and bringing those things into the natural. You have to put all those things together. Your faith, your desire, backed up with work. But not just work, organized work, which is what we talked about, I think, on page 28. Putting a plan together. Faith with a skeleton of facts and how you're going to act, and then putting meat on those bones about how it's going to get done. It is that, those are the things, your program, your definite act, practical actions, your desire, and we're going to talk about faith next week, but it's your desire that's going to put the glue on all that. And when the headwinds come, you're going to be the one that emerges on the other end intact. And not only intact, you're going to emerge better. You're going to be stronger. You're going to have things that you will have achieved that you would not have achieved otherwise. You will have been able to do things for people that you wouldn't have done otherwise. When other people are going to come out of the storm broken up, wounded, and bruised, you will come out on the other side of the storm stronger, ready to go, ready to go to the next level. And like I said, it doesn't get harder. It just gets more complicated. But the deal is you have already set your mind up to understand that there is no failure. As long as you are intact, have the mind of the infinite, you are ready to go to the next level. There's always a next level. A next level for you to fulfill your design purpose. Your next level to not only bless yourself, to be a blessing, but to be a blessing. Sorry, to be blessed, but to be a blessing. We have 2 minutes. And I want to make sure that everyone understands that we will be here next Saturday talking about the second chapter in Think and Grow Rich, expounding upon and building a platform, the next set of platforms for attaining riches. And remember, riches is, the definition of riches is not necessarily money. It is being whole. It is being rich in your body, having good health. It is being rich in your spiritual. It is being rich being part of a great family, building a legacy for your family. It is being rich emotionally. So please do not put Think and Grow Rich in such narrow terms as just money. Think and Grow Rich is making you whole as a person. I want to thank my co-host, Cynthia Hopkins Brown, for being such a great, great, great host. I want to thank all of our callers that called in today. I want to thank even the gentleman that called in and said, Think and Grow Rich sucks. That is his mind. But because we are international masterminders, we accept comments. But that's okay. And just because those are his thoughts. Again, I want to thank you. Cynthia Hopkins Brown, do you have a parting comment?
My parting comment is, if anyone would like more information and would like to know more about the international masterminders, you can go to our website at www.masterminders.com. And I look so forward to the next chapter on faith, because on page 51 of the book under faith, the self-confidence formula, I have it on index cards. I have it on my mirror in my bedroom. I just look forward to the chapter on faith. So thank you as well, Stephanie, or Sharon, and I'll talk with you next Saturday.
Very good. Thank you. And we're off. So how'd you think it went?
We have to hang up.
Okay.